Hello there, and welcome to the latest episode of the Sith Taker Snapshots podcast. I'm your host today, Rich Polly, and joining me, as usual, is Ben Hibbert.
Hello.
Hello, Ben. Ben might be leaving us at some point because a regrettable decision he made about 8 years ago is about to re-arrive back at his house.
No, I definitely enjoyed that decision.
You enjoyed the decision, but the consequences are long-reaching and expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's also funnier than you. So
I mean, most people are. Just no one on this podcast.
Also joining us, maybe by the last time, judging by the noise of the coughs he's bringing up, it's Liam Baker.
Fingers crossed.
Bonjour. Hopefully the lung fully evacuates my body and I can be done.
A bit poorly sick, are you, mate?
I crave the sweet release of death.
Isn't that just a Tuesday for you, though?
And Monday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday as well. Saturday's all right. And then Sunday, it comes back.
Saturday, you're too busy being hungover to worry about it. And then Sunday, it's back again.
Yeah, that's how I'll be.
Also joining us today is one of our new Sith takers. So we said a couple of weeks ago we were going to get on some newer players to get kind of a different perspective and fresher take on the game than getting a bunch of old haggard people like me. So we've got Oliver.
Hi.
He's asked to be called by his Sunday name. So we're going to call him Oliver and not many of the colourful things that we refer to him as on a Tuesday. So thank you for coming on today, Oliver. How's it going, man?
Yeah, it's good. Thank you very much for having me.
No worries. We're going to be polite and friendly and charming to you because it's your first time. But after that, it's going to be baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire sideways.
It's just a usual Tuesday.
It's on you this time, but after that, it's dry.
Right, Tim's also lurking about in the background, not that you can tell from our immediate descent into the worst excesses of all things. But we do have quite a lot to talk about today, actually. We've got quite a lot of X-Wing stuff to talk about, which is good, partly because we missed out on last week and partly because loads of stuff has been happening. So,
How dare your parents come over from Ireland? It's a disgrace. They need to think about us.
Unexpectedly and suddenly. So the first thing that we've got to talk about, which is a little bit old, so I'm not going to overly dwell on it. TIE Bombers had their article last week. I looked at it and went, oh, they seem a bit broken. But in the long run, a lot of people looked at it and said, yeah, but they don't have saturation salvo and barrage rockets, so nobody's going to use them. And I was like, that's a fair point.
I looked at him and I thought, do I need two more bombers? And I said, yes, I do. Yes, I do need two more bombers.
Oh, no, I looked at the pack and I thought, I don't own any bombers, so that's probably a good place for me to go to buy bombers. But, it's not a... The new standard loadouts, people going, oh, but they can do all this weird bomb stuff and like move and then drop bombs with three wings and da da da. It was like, yep. Or you could just take double modded three dice attacks where you only need a focus to fire them.
That's going to get knocked off though soon, isn't it? We all know it's never going to last forever. Well, That's why it's fun to use it now before they go, no, you cannot have that kind of fun anymore.
Yeah. When's the point? We don't know. Sometime between slots. Now and world.
Swap slots anytime though, can't they? Just go, hey, you know that thing you could do? No, you can't.
Yeah, take that off you. You're having too much fun. Enjoy yourself less. So that's bombers. Any other opinions on bombers? Because it's old news. Everybody knows about bombers already now at this point.
I think they've been repainted. That's nice.
It's nice.
Yeah, aren't they the blue colour, is it?
It's amazing how many different shades of grey the Imperial grey is across the years. There's the grey blue and the grey black and the grey grey and the whitish grey, and then there's the ones with...
I like grey grey best. That's my favourite.
They did a film about it, didn't they?
I don't know. I've got three Imperial ships staring at me from the shelf at the minute, and they're all different colours. That's all I know.
Yeah, so, apparently there's like 50 different shades.
I did. But then I got it, just as you all told me I hadn't got it. So, never mind.
Is that what your rage is like now, Rich? Is this what I've got coming for me if I make it that far?
Yeah. I don't think you have to worry about that, mate.
So after this, what comes after basically just missing stuff is that you start getting deaf, and then you can blame being deaf on why you missed stuff. But then you learn to weaponize your partial deafness, and you only don't hear things that are annoying. So
when I hit 30, I became irrationally scared every time I smelt toast. I kept lifting up my left arm.
I think that's bad. The other night, I was dreaming that I was having a stroke, and I kept waking up having a panic attack.
Thought the police were going to get you, that's why.
And because I sleep with one of my arms slightly up in the air, so my arm was dead, so I was really panicking.
So let's just pause for a minute and ask Oliver, who is not yet over the age of 25, what he thinks of what is coming down the road for him.
Well, what, like dementia, like the sad part?
Straight in dementia, that's where you think you're going. Oh, as soon as you're old, you definitely get dementia.
I get my answers.
I will tell you now, if the world carries on going the way it is, dementia will be a blessing from the heavens. It'll be a kiss from God itself.
The thing is, it's not even old. It's just kind of early middle age. That's the sad thing. It's like,
if it's my 30s, I'm dreading being 50.
Yeah. Ben, you know when you get really excited and your volume goes up, your microphone just can't cope with your levels of enthusiasm. So
I'll stop running up.
Right, we're going to talk about some stuff. We got a message off a couple of weeks ago. We ran through like about 7,000 American events, but we actually missed out one event that took place in Poland. And the Polish community reached out to us and said, "Hey guys, we did this thing. Would you be able to talk about our event too?" So it was in Poznan, which is in Poland, famous for people turning their backs on football games and bouncing, stolen by Manchester City.
Poznan, let's go.
So,
thing?
It is. Yeah, sorry, Ben.
That's why I have not got a clue what you're talking about.
So we had this is actually one of those store championships where you look at it and you go, oh wow, there's a lot of very well-known Polish kind of community names playing in this tournament. So Bartosz was there. Bartosz, who was on the podcast a month
just
ago,
just like to make fun of Bartosz for going undefeated and then not winning. What a scrub.
We had
you need to try harder, Ken.
So like just going through the top eight, you've got Bartosz, you've got Molfar, you've got Falumi, Galonka, Carol, and then a bunch of people I don't know the names for. A lot of these people, a bit further down, you've got Fundan. There's a load of people on here.
I recognize Indar as well.
Indar, Oscar Ice. There's a bunch of people on here who play a lot of, like, used to play on Hexiled, played a lot of the online events, or in the Polish XTC team as well. So it was won overall by, it was Carol. Carol Petrovich from Trident Squadron, using a separatist's list, and he beat Bartosz in the final after kind of, I think they cut to top eight, so they had three rounds of cut. So briefly, Carol's list was, here's one from the past for you: Django in a fire spray, Zam Wessel in a fire spray, and Dirge in a rogue class starfighter. Double fire sprays plus something, because you can't just have double fire sprays anymore because you can't spend enough points that way. That extra,
and the minimum ships is three.
Yeah, you got to do that. So, but like, he's got marksmanship, sync laser cannons, contraband cybernetics on Dirge, and then he's got, I'm just going to say, a force crew and some rerolls on his other things. So he's got like Dooku, he's got Lone Wolf, he's got a bit of bombs here and there. He's got, you know, it's a, people who use fire sprays will probably know the kind of upgrades what I'm talking about. But so that feels like it's just one of those solid lists that's been flown well by a good player. Bartosz's list for the final, was it his expo list? No, it wasn't. No, it was not. It was Fenrau in a Fang Fighter, Bodic Avenge in a Fang Fighter, Keo Venzi in a RZ1, Battle of Yavin Luke Skywalker, and Battle of Yavin Hull Okand. So that's the free Torpy boy. He's broken his expo list. He's taken Han out and put in Fen and a Y-Wing instead. Mixed things up a bit. Yeah. Very different. Interesting. Good to see. So, any thoughts on that kind of tournament, guys? Any, I mean, I know we've all kind of looked down the lists and stuff in the past. Or are you just like... I almost want to go through the top eight lists of this one because the Polish meta is sometimes very, very different. But then I'm looking down the top eight factions and I'm a little bit, maybe they're all just kind of what we'd expect.
That's the thing. I don't think we're going to see anything out of the ordinary. I mean, it's nice to see a double spread rogue class being used, but I think the staples we'll see in a tournament meta at the moment will be Han and Friends, and you'll see FO and stuff like that. I don't think we're going to be seeing anything groundbreaking for a while.
So
unless
we've got
some freak results somewhere.
So here's a bit of an interesting one. Battle of Yavin Vader, blah, whatever. Rear Admiral Shirano, Tomax Bren in a bomber, but then Countdown in a striker. So it's a different take on the four-ship Imperials. I get Countdown is really, really good for a couple of the scenarios because strikers can still use their ailerons while carrying crates, and he can just not take crits as well because of his ability. So he can just bounce load of damage. So he's a very good points fortress. But yeah, I mean, just looking down the lists of the top eight, they are fairly what we've come to expect from store championship top end stuff.
Poland's pretty much they kind of get things right. If you want to take a list and there's an early tournament in Poland, they are one of the stronger countries, so you just have a look at them and then just go, hey, I'll take that.
Poppy mercilessly. Yeah,
there's no Falcon spam, what's quite nice to see.
Yeah, I think there was one Falcon in top eight, which was cool.
Wow, even Ken didn't take it, did he?
No, but I think it's the kind of thing that people are prepping for. So this is an interesting like flex of the metagame out of Falcons and into like not swarms, but you know, if you've got five or six ships that can all take a three dice modded attack from Han and then punch him back, which means that Han has to be full more defensively. Yeah, it might have been a reaction to it. And there's actually a tournament coming up later on from America where I think the winning list is a really, really interesting response to Falcon lists. So we'll talk about that one when it comes up. So anyway, that's Poznan, and well done again to... Oh, I've just closed the tab before I remember.
You can say the winner.
Well done again to Carol, yeah.
Say the winner was Carol.
Yeah. Congratulations, man. And we know that a lot of the Polish guys do actually listen to the podcast as well, which is always really cool. So, yeah, well done. Now, next tournament we're going to go to is one where we might have to roll back a little bit on some of the abuse that we've been giving out to a very good friend of the podcast for quite a long time.
I don't believe you.
So Excelsior Store Championships in Bristol in the United Kingdom was won by Steve Bolton. And we are assured that he read to the bottom of all of his cards and that he didn't misread any of his rules the whole way through the tournament at all. So congratulations to Steve.
He didn't read them out loud. He could have just told us a half of it. And that's what I'm going with.
So, Liam, you were at this tournament. How did it go for you?
It went okay. Like, I've had a bit of stuff go on, so I've kind of just checked out of trying to do well. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I went to Gloucester, played Atlas Games, and I took Maulin in an Infiltrator. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at. I kind of did, yeah, because Maul did horrible things to Pond.
The grief, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I was just like, yeah, I'm just going to fly stuff I enjoy. And I saw this five-ship FO doing its thing. But I've never got on well with quick draw because I fly him like a potato. much like I do Tri-Fighters of old. So I was like, I'm just going to swap out for a familiar piece and put Kylo in. But the last time I used Kylo, he was 6 points and had a lot more loadout.
Yeah, I had that same shock recently.
It got to the night before, because that's when I bought my ticket, and Rich Greenaway was like, you need to submit your list tonight. I was like, oh, God. So I just started whacking things in, looking at my folder, and went, oh, right, Adam's got that, so I can't use this. I might have to beg, steal, and borrow a few things. And I just put a few upgrades on it, and I was like, cool. Concussion missiles, I always use those before. Shattering shot, there's a lot of Han. This could come in useful. And then the following four games that I played, I forgot I had shattering shot and concussion missiles. Yeah.
All those two dice obstructed shots that could have been four dice double modded missiles.
Yeah, to be fair though, the reason it didn't really affect me that much is because I'd forgotten I had them, I was lining up bullseyes every time Kylo had to shoot. So I was firing minimum three dice. So I got off very lucky with that. But no, it was a good day. It was just nice to play the game with no stress. My second game was an absolute washout. I was paired up against Han, and it just, like, Luke one-hit whirlwind with the proton torp. And I was like, okay, so this is happening. Then Kylo died because I was in a position where I had to take risks and get something decent out of it, and I didn't. So I was like, yeah, I'm just going to call it there because Kylo died to a console fire, and I just went to the pub. I just went and sat and had a pint of Amstel, playing Marvel Snap on my phone, getting annoyed that I wasn't getting Nimrod boosters. And then I turned back up at round three and played Leon Smith, where he set up three Tri-Fighters, HMP and Zam. And as he was setting his initiative threes up, I went, joust me, Leon. Joust me. And he went, no, that's stupid. And then turned at me and jousted me.
So he thought you were trying to, like, double bluff him, but in the end you weren't double bluffing him, you were just going, joust me please, and then he did.
Yeah, and in first engagement he lost a HMP and a Tri-Fighter. His list was horrible though, because he played James Dowdle the game before, and he managed to get all three Fearsome Predators or Fearsome Predators on Han. So Han just wasn't rolling any greens, and he burned Han down in a turn. So I knew, because it was Separatists, so I kind of knew what I was looking at. Mm-hmm. But I did really enjoy having an Initiative 6 whirlwind double tap, followed by Von Reg shooting and having Midnight get us a couple of shots off and stuff as well. Yeah. I think it happened four times where I need to do one damage with Midnight, and I rolled like one hit or something, but they were locked. And they just rolled the dice and went, I'll just spend the evade. And I was like, you can't do that. They're like, what do you mean? I was like, Midnight's got you locked. You can't mod your dice. And they were like, guess I'll die then. I was like, yep. Wish it was me.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did well. So you went 3-1 in the end. You missed out on cut. They did cut to four. The cut was Tim Greenaway. It's great to see young Tim. Is Tim Middle Greenaway or Young Greenaway?
They're both Young Greenaway, so let's just throw them under that caveat.
Well, we know that Richard Greenaway is Dad Greenaway, and he was the TO and wasn't playing. And then Simon and Richard. Anyway, so Tim got bragging rights for the house because he was King of Swiss, so he went undefeated. 4-0, along with Stevie Bolt, and they were both flying first order. So Steve was basically flying the same list as you, but he had quick draw in for that Kylo, the swap that you've just talked about. So it's a whirlwind quick draw, Von Reg, Midnight, and Malorus. So it's a whole bunch of nonsense happening at high initiatives, basically, with a whole bunch of targeting synchronizers and deuterium power cells allowing Von Reg to be on killable arts. Disgusting. So that was Steve's list that he won with, and then young Tim was flying Yasby Link, not in text, Oh, the same thing. There we go.
So I looked at Tim's lists, yeah, and he spoke to me about it before the event, and I looked at it. I was like, you know what? I'm sad I didn't take that.
It's, yeah, disgusting. I'm actually looking at it. It's not the same thing. He's got Tai in a Whisper, which is fine. Wylo Ren. He's got Scorch Null DT-798. So he's got the old 3-point Tai Fighters. Anyway, Midnight they... with.
Go on. Most
I was
of
just
going to
say Midnight and Malorus. Oh, do they?
Yeah. Oh, well, so yeah. Null Swarm Tactics 1, then passes it on. So he's got 4 shots at Initiative 7.
Ugh. Yeah, that's fun.
She just daisy chains it down.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Malorus, Midnight. So, right, Null passes it to... And at the very worst, you've got a couple at 7 and a couple at 6, because you've got Midnight Swarm Tacticing somebody up to 6, even if Null doesn't manage to pass it the whole way down. Yeah, that's rather rude. Okay. Yeah. Tim, you should be stopped. That kind of nonsense is not allowed. I love it. So in the end, it went into Top Cut. So it was Steve, Tim, Dave Hawkins, and Ryan Coyle, legendary diorama maker for the Sith Taker Open. So Steve beat Ryan, Tim beat Dave, and then Steve beat Tim in the final. So well done, Steve. We can't dwell on you anymore because we've got another 47 of these store champs to get through. But congratulations.
Still be mean to him, right?
I think we should ease off on him today because he won a store championship, but just today.
I think it's interesting to see as well that both the First Order lists won out to the hand, like the Rebel lists.
Yeah.
But both being predominantly hand lists.
Yeah. Okay, next one I'm going to touch on is Entoyment. So it's another UK one. This was won by Dom Flanagan, who's just, you know, winning them for fun at this point, and once again should be stopped. So Dom won with Po Nien Elo, and I can't remember what the other ship is.
It's another T-70, isn't it?
It's another T-70. I think it's Snap.
Yeah, it was Snap.
I'm not going to dwell on that list overly much. It's a very good list, but it's Resistance, and I know that you all get fed up of listening to me banging on about Resistance. I just want to get through these store champs.
Just Resistance, Rich.
Yeah, I just want to get through these store champs fairly quickly so that I can actually spend some time talking to Ollie about stuff rather than just sitting in the background not saying anything. So Tim's happily done us a really quick rundown of the winners. So instead of going through a million D7 of them, we're going to go through the rest of them. So the Tin Squadron Store Championship in Cornwall took place. It was won by Stuart Confrey with First Order. With Von Reg, 2 SFs, Malorus, and Scorch in a bomber. Well done to Stuart. Atlas Store Champs in Gloucester was won by Ben Saunders with Han, Hera, Fenn, and Bodica, which is a rather nasty everybody shoots at I6 list, with some double taps from Bodica as well, getting rid of his deplete after he moves and shooting at 6. So the deplete never affects his shots. And floating tokens from Hera. Very rude little list. I love it. There was Dragon's Den in California. 16 players. Cough, cough. Right, okay. Sorry, 16 players. won by, and I think it's Keith Lyon, using 5 T-70s X-Wings. The Mando Store Championship held in Milton Keynes was won by Ian Wardle.
X-Wing Jesus.
Yeah, Mandalorian X-Wing Jesus. Congratulations. Flying, and I mean, this has got so much going for it. Han, Lando, and Chopper. So three big bases, Rebels, just punching stuff. I suspect, without looking, that Chopper had... Mag Viaro and Saw Gerrera for free double mods on shots if you get shot at.
I tried that last week. It was great.
Yeah, that's a lot of dice. Just constantly rolling big dice. Seems good.
I had people just not shoot Chopper because they didn't want me to get the 5-dice banger back them.
It's two shots from Han, a double modded shot from Lando, and then a double modded 4-dice from Chopper. And if you happen to land in range 1 of Chopper, then it just really hurts. Okay, next one, North America Central, Spellbound Game Store Championship, 16 players, won by Nick Sperry with Imperials, with Battle of Yavin, Ties, Vader, Marek, and Tomax. So two bombers, a couple of Ties and Vader. It's just solid, that. Red Seal Gaming, New Jersey. New Jersey, that's somewhere in America, East Coast probably. 18 players, won by William Hayes, Rebels. Ollie's list. So that's Han, Bodica, Hera, Luke, probably. My brain shut down. And then this is the one that I wanted to... Oh, no, it's not, sorry. I'm getting mixed up. So Gamers Heaven in the Pacific Northwest in Washington. 20 players in America. Won by Toaster Lover with Six Ship Rebel combination. Muncie, Indiana, won by Laconian with Republic. Ollie, an Eta, two Arcs, and two Naboos.
I've just been looking at that.
Yeah. Happy Valley Store Championship in Pennsylvania, won by Thud, Flying Scum, with two Fangs, Sirisu, Bosk in his Zed, and Dace Bonearm in the Moldy Crow. That's why. Athena Game Store Championships in Norwich with 16 players, won by Darren Chapman with Rebels, but no list. Darren. And then there is a bigger event that happened in America, was the Lone Star Open, which was an X-Wing Worlds qualifier. Hilariously, it was 44 players, and hilariously it was won by somebody who's got a standing Worlds invite because he's won the World Championship three times, Paul Heaver. And this is the list that I want to talk about as just a bit of a standout from stuff. So interesting points to note on this one is that six of the top eight lists were Rebels. And there was a lot of Falcons. There is what is now becoming a very prominent and prevalent list in North America, particularly on the East Coast, because the Carolina Krates as a group have started flying it. And it's Han Solo, Fen Rau, Battle of Yavin Luke, and Keo Venzi with Duke. So this is the list that a couple of weeks ago we talked about Ryan Farmer won a store championship with it. And the week before that, we talked about Andrew Cox, who was second place at Worlds, won a store championship with it. So at this tournament, the people who came second, third, and fourth were all flying this list. So here's the point of, I think that Paul Heaver made a meta call, because he hangs out in their chat rooms, he hangs out with their groups. He's flown three arcs, and they're the three Siege of Coruscant arcs, so it's Oddball, Wolf, and Jag. And then he's flown Siege of Coruscant, Annie, and Padme. And that is it. And he has gone through, I believe he's gone through, oh no, he lost one in Swiss, and then he lost his round three against he lost against one of those Falcon lists, but then he has won his way through beating Jeremy Chambly, who's a former System Open winner from back in version one times. So a very, very competent player. But he's beaten a lot of Falcon lists. He's basically played Falcons at least four times in Swiss, and he's won three of those games. And then he's played his way through to the final without losing. He's lost one game in round three. So what does that list have?
He also lost to Han.
Yeah, he did. His one loss. I mean, when you're playing against the same list over and over again, I guess there's a... Yeah. I say the same list. I mean, it's Han plus an A-Wing plus an X-Wing plus something.
I'm surprised that he's just hit four Rebel lists that are very similar.
I'm not looking at the lists in the tournament. It was...
To be fair, I haven't looked. I'm just literally looking at his page.
Yeah, there's a lot of Rebels.
What do you think about his list, Ali?
I love it. I mean, it's got great token sharing, I give him that, but I just wouldn't know how to fly it against them. Because, yeah, you fly all the arcs in, like, near each other, but then you've got to try and get Padme slow enough to get her ability to trigger, which I find very difficult to do.
Mm. Yeah, it's tricky.
Does Padme have the evade action?
No.
Okay. It's been a long time since I've flown in a boo. I can't really remember.
Yeah, the only way they get the evade is if they do the three-speed move. So, yeah, it's one of the problems that they've got, is you can't rely on Duke. So,
and then you've got Jagger who can just pass locks round, and then Wolf can then use them locks, and then Oddball can, if he gets stressed, get a lock, so it's basically he can just re-roll everything.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that I kind of came up with this as well, because, you know, it's not really a very difficult one to come up with, because, you know, Anakin has a 4-point I6 plus 3 4-point arcs and leaves you a 4-point gap. I played that combination of ships, and then I was fiddling about with what the fourth ship was, and I never tried Padme. It's really strong. Like, I used Rick to provide another high initiative ace threat to offset the arcs. Obviously, Padme's defensive ability has done a bit more work here. Like, it's really, really strong. I think the only thing in the game that outjousts it is the resistance 3-4 T-70 jousting blocks. Like, you know, if you put LOA, if you put like a 5, a 4, and a 3 or something like that together, that resistance jousting list will take this off, because this has to fly together, so it can't dodge that jousting block. Just because the medium bases are quite unmaneuverable. But I don't think there's much else in the game that would want to gutter joust this list. Like, this will just fly through the middle of the board and just smash stuff up, and you can't kill it fast enough. And if you turn off and try and hurt, and, you know, and once you've engaged the arcs, this is the other thing, is once you've engaged the arcs, Anakin flies in from the side and just starts annihilating you. And if you turn to Anakin, then you're given the arcs free double mods on you every turn. It's a really nasty list. And I think that it's probably quite a clever meta call, because Han is never going to want to be anywhere near that, because he can't kill them fast enough, and they can just take giant, great, big lumps out of Han every single turn. Plus,
You've also got Selfless and Oddball, so if Anakin does get hit, as long as one of them's a crit, and he can just shake that off with Oddball if he's close enough.
Yeah. It all seems very, very rude. And I really like it. Obviously, Paul is a very, very competent player.
He's very good at reading the meta as well, isn't he?
Yeah. And he's very good at turn zero, and he's very good at strategizing his setup in advance. So he'll have been playing a set like, kind of, I'm expecting to see this at the top end of the room. Because, you know, the guys who've been, it's really funny, like genuinely funny, because the top four lists at the tournament is Paul's list and then three identical lists. And it's that Han, Luke, Fenn, Keo list. And, you know, the fact that one of them has put the ships in a slightly different order so that they're not in initiative order, so the little ship pictures and roll better show up differently, doesn't fool me. Interesting looking a little bit further down, somebody has brought kind of the same thing, but with a Sheathipede. So they've got Fenn, Wedge, Han, and AP5. So they've sacrificed, they've taken Wedge instead of Battle of Yavin Luke. They've taken 5-point Wedge with Plasma Torps, Hopeful Marksmanship, and R4. But fundamentally, they've got kind of, you know, double shot Han. They've got Fenn Rau with what is probably a standard loadout for him at this point, which is Beskar, Mandalorian optics for free double mods, clan training, and Predator. Not sure, like clan training, I might put something else on there. But yeah, you know, there's these kind of fairly stock loadouts that we're starting to see. But it's very interesting to see AP5 creeping in, because AP5's good. Like, I want coordinate that cannot be stopped by stress is just, it's a bit dirty. Forest Green open, well done to Paul. And I think I've now run through all of them. Let me just check Tim's helpful list. I have. Cool, sweet. Right. What should we talk about next? Should we talk about the YT-2400, or should we talk to Ollie?
I reckon we get the ship out of the way.
Get the ship out of the way, right? YT-2400. Okay, so today, hot off the press, AMG have done an announcement that I'm trying to talk slowly while I try and find the announcement again because I've shut the page down. Sweet, Ben, you can do some reading.
Yay, love doing English.
So they've announced that Dash Rendar is coming back with the YT-2400. He's coming out in Scum and in Rebel. He has also got Lebo, and from the packs, and this is handy for us because from the spoiler that they've done today, all of the abilities are the same for Rebels and for Scum, so we don't have to worry about different abilities. Whether that's true when it actually releases.
The only one we're
not
sure about is that standard loadout for Dash.
Yes.
For the Rebels, because we can't see that one.
But it looks like it might be the same.
Yeah,
because it's exactly the same.
The words that you can see match up exactly. So
I hope to God that those pilot cards aren't double-sided, because that'll ruin my organizing, and I'll be so sad.
Right. So I've got the cards up now, Ben, if you'd rather I did the reading.
I'm not bothered, mate. Go for it. I know you enjoy it, mate. You like talking.
Dash Rendar.
You haven't talked much this time. I'll let you have a little bit of a chat.
So Dash Rendar, in it for himself. He's still I5. He's still got a 3-dice primary with modification. We'll talk about it in a minute. He's still got 2 greens, 6 hull, 4 shields, so 10 health total. He's got... This is the standard loadout I'm going through first. So he's got Mercenary.
Well, you well threw me off with that. I couldn't figure out where you'd got that in it for himself from.
It's his tagline. It's his strapline. So his first ability is Mercenary. After another friendly ship at range 0 to 2 is destroyed, before it's removed from the play area, transfer one of its green tokens to yourself. So, okay. Whatever, kind of.
You probably don't want it to trigger, but if someone's died, at least you get some benefit from it.
Yeah, but you're I5, so it's probably a vague defensive token, maybe, that you might use. I like the next upgrade, Seeker Missiles, 4 charges. Attack requires a target lock, spend 1 charge. Then during the modify attack die step, you can spend up to 2 additional charges to change focus results to hit results for each charge spent in this way. So it's a 3-dice range 2-3 missile that comes out the front arc. So you've got a bow tie arc on the sides. This is a genuine 270-degree arc on this ship. You're almost guaranteed 3 hits here. Not quite. Like, it's a free focus. As long as you're taking a target lock, you get a free focus. So seems okay. He's got Lebo, so it's a little robot thing. And he's the second pilot. We'll talk about him in a minute. After you repair a damage card, you may perform an action from your action bar. So that's nice. I mean, that's like genuinely nice, because you can repair an action. You can repair a damage card. Like, if it's a loose stabilizer, you can repair that by doing a turn. You repair it, you get your free action to take a lock, and then you take a focus, and then you've got a double modded shot on somebody or a roll or whatever. And then the title. And the title version here is, while you perform a primary attack at range 3, roll 1 additional attack dice. While you perform an attack that is obstructed by an obstacle, you may change one of the defender's evade results to an I result, so Duke, wrapped in for free. So primary at range 3 is a 4-dice primary. Cool. I've stunned you all into silence.
Oh, sorry, I was looking at what the Lebo droid looked like, and he's pretty lame. I had to see, because I'd never really thought until... I'm going to have to look. He looks a bit like the Star Wars version of Mad-Eye Mooney.
Fair enough.
I'm Googling him now.
Right, so while we're talking about...
Tim Lebo.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, right. Outrider's cool. I like the new Outrider better than the old version. It's good, but the other one was like really oppressive.
Yep. Okay, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Because as well as these standard loadouts, we have also got normal pilot cards for Dash, which are different. So Dash's pilot ability, which is the only thing we've not talked about, is after you gain a red token as a result of moving through or overlapping an obstacle, you may transfer that red token to a friendly ship at range 0-1. So he's not ignoring the stress, the strain, the ion that he gets from overlapping the less evil obstacles. but he can pass it to another ship that maybe isn't going to be a primary target, or that's a cheaper ship, or that hasn't moved yet, if you've got a bunch of high initiative things. So, yeah.
Do you think the Rebel standard loadout card maybe has the, what we'll talk about later, the Rebel ability? Rather, because this might be the just the scum version.
Possibly. It could be.
And that's why they could be.
Yeah. So we'll have a look at that. The other thing this thing's got is a sensor blackout, which it always has done. It's got a little donut. While you prefer a primary attack at range 0 to 1, you roll one fewer attack die, which is weird because it means you still roll 3 because you get your range 1 bonus. It doesn't say don't apply your range 1 bonus. So you're just rolling 3. So it's still not bad at range 1. It used to be terrible, but it's still not bad at range one. While you defend, roll one fewer. That's terrible. Rolling one green.
Before you used to roll 3 dice anyway.
Did you?
Because it was a 4 dice attack, weren't it?
Yeah. Is that for? I thought there was a weird thing in version 2.5 where it went down to 2.
No,
and I could be wrong.
You just didn't get the range 1. I think.
Right.
Okay. It might have gone down to, I can't remember now, mate. No, you don't get the range 1. And you roll one fewer, that's why you roll 3 rather than 4.
And it specifically says that at range 0 to 1, you roll one fewer attack dice. So you're not just doing, oh no, I can't modify my dice, which means that I get to roll 3 here. If you're rolling at range 0, you do actually roll 2 with this dash. So
it is interesting that they've lowered the defense dice as well. That's neat.
That's horrible.
But not at range 0.
Yep, only at range 1.
Yeah.
Interesting. Lebo's got a lot of the similar stuff. So he's got Sensor Blackout. He's also got Seeker Missiles as well. And he's got the same Outrider title. Lebo's ability, pilot ability, is at the end of the engagement phase, you may spend a calculate token to acquire a lock on an enemy ship at range 2 to 3. Free actions.
Gets double calculate every turn as well.
And yes, he gets efficient processing. So after you perform a calculate action, gain a calculate token. So double calculates. So seems good. He's I3, though. And his strapline is he thinks he's funny. And I've never identified with a droid more. Might use him just as an excuse to do dad jokes. It's all fine. Right.
When has that ever stopped you before?
It hasn't, but, you know, having an excuse is always helpful. Excuse me, having to explain myself. So we'll do the ordinary pilot cards. So we've got Dash Rendar these are the Rebel ones. Have we got the Scum ones? No, we've just got the Rebel ones.
Don't actually know if there's going to be Scum, like, build your own pilot ship.
Yeah, so... Dash, during the engagement phase, you ignore the effects of obstacles that you are overlapping. So basically, you can park yourself on a rock and you still take the effect of hitting the rock, but you don't. You still can shoot when you're sitting on it. So previously, the way that you dealt with Dash was you blocked him on rocks and then he wasn't able to shoot. So now he can. So he's fine. I mean, he'll take some damage from hitting the things, but he's all right.
I can't imagine you'd... I think with this ship, you still don't really want to hit the rocks, do you?
No, but...
You know, if you hit a rock, you the possibility of taking 2 damage each turn.
The thing is that you're quite happy to go on to a debris for a 50-50 of taking damage and then yeeting the stress to somebody. Oh, no, that's the other Outrider. So anyway, that's Dash. There's another thing that I just want to quickly touch on, but I'll just read Lebo's thing out again. It's after you defend or perform an attack, if you spent a calculate token, gain a calculate token. So this is the same as it used to be. This hasn't changed.
He was will always free before?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, yeah. This has been the same since he was released in, I think, version 2.5. Like, the Lebo's pilot ability was one of the first "oh, that could be broken" moments that a lot of people had, and he did do some stuff at the start of version 2.5.
I mean, he didn't do a lot. We just put C-3PO on him.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if they'll still block C-3PO on him.
They took his crew slot off him, didn't they?
Yeah, they can always give it back there.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. See if anybody remembers back in the dawn of time from pre-COVID times. So that's the cards. The thing that is kind of a bit interesting is the Outrider title card as it currently stands, is that if you perform, while you perform an attack that is obstructed by an obstacle, the defender rolls one fewer defense dice. After you fully execute a maneuver, if you move through or overlapped an obstacle, you can remove one of your red or orange tokens. So basically, Dash's new Rebel pilot card ability, combined with the old Outrider title, is horrible.
As long as you've got debris.
No, it's fine. Because, I mean, you're still going to hit... If you hit rocks, you're still going to suffer from hitting the thing. So you're flying Dash, you're going to take debris or gas clouds. But after you fully execute a maneuver, if you move through or overlapped an obstacle, you can remove one of your red or orange tokens. Then you get actions, even if they're blocking you onto those obstacles. And then your pilot ability allows you to shoot.
Do you get actions? Because you land on a rock. If you're on a rock, you skip. It's only if you fly over it. If you fly over it completely, but if you land on it.
If you fully execute your maneuver. But if you're blocked, if you are blocked on an obstacle.
If you land on the obstacle, you skip your perform action step. It's not the stress that stops you. It's just you skip it.
Yes. But if you bump into somebody, you perform an action not in your perform action step. You perform an action when you bump. The red action is performed outside of your perform action step, and then you skip your perform action step.
Yeah.
So if you block Dash onto a rock, he still gets to take an action, basically.
Didn't have to fully execute with the Outrider. That's good.
After you fully execute, if you move to or overlap, you can remove. So you don't get to remove a token, but you still get to perform an action.
You can't perform an action because you didn't fully execute if you bump.
No, fully execute is just about removing a red or orange token.
Yeah, so if you land on the debris.
Yeah, so if you're doing a red move and you land on the debris. Yeah, so like, oh, you're talking about if you're going over a debris.
Yeah.
Right, okay. You pick up your stress, you then can take an action because you're stressed. Yes.
And the Outrider doesn't work because you didn't fully execute.
Yeah, you can't fully execute the maneuver. But if you get bumped on a rock and you've not picked up a stress, you can take a stress action and then still shoot because Dash's pilot card ability in version 2, the new version lets you do it. Anyway, I suspect that they're going to do some banning because old Dash's pilot ability is still while you move, you ignore obstacles. So he's got the same card. He's in extended. So I don't know how they're going to differentiate from them because they've got the same name. They haven't changed the naming convention on it.
Has it got a different little hashtaggy thing?
One's called Freighter for Hire, and the other one is called something else. It's not on the list. One second while I reach into my folder next to me.
I feel like they'll probably ban the old title like they did with the Slave One month. They just was like, no, you're not having it.
Yeah, I feel like
I'm okay with it, to be honest.
Mercenary. So yeah, they can differentiate it as Hotshot Mercenary and whatever the other one is, and Lebo between Dry-Witted Droid and thinks he's funny. So anyway, there we go. Dash is going to come back, and people that enjoy Dash will enjoy Dash. And if he comes back into Scum, then he will be paired up with Bobba, and we will all be sad.
Mr. Tom Reed will be very happy. What are we saying, mate?
With Lebo being at I3, he won't really get played in the current meta because, I mean, there's better things for higher agility currently.
Unless they say he's 3 points.
Yeah.
I mean, he won't be. He'll be what? He'll be what, 5, 6?
Look, some of us can dream, Rich.
He'll probably be 6. We'll see what comes out. I can't imagine in a world where Han is 7 that Dash is going to be more than 7 and Lebo will be cheaper than Dash or should be. So he might get play because he's a 4-dice gun that you can double mod fairly easily. Using his pilot ability to get locks.
Tim can bring out his lovely painted Dash and Ghost again and bring the Ghost Rider list.
Need to bring an extra ship, though. Need to pick something to put in it.
Find something, it's fine. Right, I just hope I can fit two, because I'll have two models to fly at least once.
Yeah, just dock. It's fine.
You know, a little bit off subject, but Dave was flying the Ghost with the Sheathapede docked, and I tried his list, and there's a lot of nonsense you can do with that, with the pre-move coordinate.
Yeah.
Like, that was great fun.
Well, so few people use it that if you do use it, a lot of people just don't understand what's happening until it's done something really nasty to them. Like, it's the kind of combo that's just pure gotcha, because people go, right, okay, you got that. And they're like, oh, you're going to start it docked. All right, cool. And they don't think, oh, yeah, comm shuttle, he's going to be coordinating it constantly over and over again at high initiatives, potentially. It's a bit rude.
Yeah, it's great fun. I'm not saying it's like meta breaking or anything, but it was definitely an eye opener to play it and see what you could do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Like, it's interesting. There's a lot of stuff turning up. A kind of a nice segue into the next thing that we want to talk about. So we've asked Ollie to come on because he started playing X-Wing kind of this year with a few of the other recent additions to the Sith Takers. So we've mentioned them a couple of times. We've got Josh, we've got Matt, we've got Jake. Help me here. Dean.
Lewis.
And then Lewis's air cadets, army cadets, whichever one it is. That he's...
Air Force, don't we? He'll have a mad. He really likes it. He really likes it if you accuse him of being in the Navy.
I can imagine. So we've had, I don't know, like since
Rich COVID, plays like he's just started.
I do. So since COVID, we started out and there was kind of two or three of us going down. And then Dave that works at Element, who's great, like he's a really, really great guy. He plays a lot of game systems, but he was mainlined X-Wing for a couple of years, basically post-COVID. Because he worked at Element, anytime he saw somebody even vaguely looking at Star Wars stuff, he went over and was like, oh, yeah, come down on a Tuesday. There's loads of people play X-Wing and blah, blah, blah. And so as a result of that, plus, you know, some natural growth and people kind of wanting to try games, like different games and stuff, whatever. So Ollie started coming. When did you start, Ollie?
I think it was just after they'd just released the new points, pretty sure.
The last lot, not this lot.
Yeah. Like, because I'd never played with the, was like 200 and some points you had. I've only ever played with like the 21 points. No, sorry. Yeah.
20. Yeah.
20. That's it. Sorry.
Okay. So you're very new. So what attracted you to X-Wing in the first place? Like, what was it that made you think a bit of that, please?
Well, it's mainly the strategy. Like, it's more of there's more odds. Like, you've got to think about, like, you're flying. Like, while you got like, and then you've got your dice as well, and then you've got to, like, you've got things to make your odds better, if you know what I mean. So, and I quite liked that it was open, you could just do whatever you want. There's no, you're not forced into, you have to do this kind of thing.
Okay, so it's like sandboxy sort of a thing.
Yeah.
But so it's interesting you said it's the strategic element of it, because people in the past have referred to X-Wing is kind of like poker mixed with 4D space chess, almost, like, because while you have got freedom to make whatever move you want, there are a set number of places where each ship can possibly be, given, you know, the choices that are available to you.
Yeah.
Is that the bit of that you like puzzling out? Where are they going to go? How do I get arcs there? How do I keep my ship safe? Is that the kind of thing that you're talking about when you talk about strategy?
Yeah. Like 100%, because I kind of started out with Matt, kind of got me into it. We didn't go down the normal route of starting with, you know, the starter pack. We didn't go down that way. Matt kind of started me with Republic, which I now play, with the Deltas and stuff like that, and being able to, like, make multiple choices in, like, one turn and... You're not kind of hinged down on one like movement, and then you've got to kind of learn the other ships as well, which I'm onto that stage now of learning where other ships can go and what other ships can do. As I now don't bump that often, but I still don't know what most other ships do.
Yeah. Spending a lot of time asking your opponents,
yeah,
what can that do? Have you got any triggers? Wait a minute, if I shoot that ship, is something bad going to happen to me? That's a point, I think, that actually takes a while to get through it. And to be honest, I've been playing for, I don't know, about 6 years or something now, and I'm still at that point when I play against Separatists and Scum. And sometimes First Order, I'm just like, right, I don't understand your list, but I assume it's going to be horrible. So can you just explain it to me as you go along? And the players are normally like, yeah, fine, whatever. And then they, you know, screw you. Because you go, all right, I totally understand something bad's about to happen here. Oh, I didn't realize it'd be that bad. Have you found the game to be what you thought it was going to be? Like, are you still enjoying it as much as you did when you first started? Are you enjoying it more?
Yeah, like I quite enjoy the fact that, I mean, I know they said they're not going to change the game that much, but like in between like 2.0, 2.5, then changing like what loadouts, how much things cost, because I kind of just brought the same list every week with that Republic one when I was learning, where it's like one arc, click, control, sock cards, and then two deltas, and then now I've kind of been made, like, forced to be made to fly something else, and I'm not as good with it.
Yeah, but you're learning, and
yeah.
You do yourself a big disservice because you're a fraction away. Like as we're playing against you, I can see you nearly making the best decision, and then talking yourself out of it because you think you should do something else. And that genuinely is not many steps away from just making the right decision.
Yeah.
You know, and that comes with experience. Like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I know is second nature to do with like probabilities because.
Yeah, that's another thing I need to look at more is like what I should do in certain situations. Like just remembering that, oh, I should mod this. On like I should lock you instead of taking a focus of the Jedi, but I tend to just forget that and just go full guns and then just get blown up.
yeah no I mean I get it, but it's, as I say, it's that kind of learning experience.
Yeah.
So I mean I one of the things that you've been flying that I low-key love and not a lot of people use is you're a big fan of Adi Gallia.
Yeah I really enjoy it. I don't know why. It's just, I mean, I fly with outmaneuver on it and tend to just leave her on her own and let them just ignore it. And then once they all start scuffling, then kind of bring them in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like Adi Gallia has just got enough loadout for outmaneuver, hasn't she? So
I think it's Dawn. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And Adi's ability, of course, is really rude because if you're oh, what's going on here?
We're entering the Matrix.
Just left.
Who was it? All right. So a bit odd. Sorry about that. If anybody just has had some sort of fit, then sorry. We're not legally culpable for Ben's internet connection.
I don't think audible epilepsy is a thing, is it?
Probably is, to be honest. Self-diagnosed. It's fine. What was I saying? So Adi Gallia's ability is it's a bit like Grand Inquisitor. So you can remove people's range 3 bonus when you're attacking them, or you can strip their range 1 bonus when they're attacking you by spending a force. There was a rude little list doing the rounds which had click. Two, I think it was Annie, Obi, and Addy, and basically it was like 3 aces, and all of your range 1 shots didn't matter, which is interesting. I mean, I've played against you a good few times now as we've been going, and that outmaneuver Addy is just like an absolute menace, an absolute terror. Like, but she's really good. But the other thing is, you have recently started flying the correct faction. You bought a job lot of resistance at UK Games Expo, didn't you?
Yeah.
What have you been using that recently?
Yeah, so I started out with the I get it from the phone. It's the Ray, Kaz,
yeah,
and BB,
yeah, BBA,
and what's the and Ello, that's it. Yeah. Started out like just started out with that, just learning kind of how Kaz works and then kind of how to fly certain ships. I was enjoying that list, but the I-4s in this meta can't, they don't do as well because everyone just blows them up and they never get to shoot back, kind of thing. So I've been looking at like some of the winning lists. So it's like Ray, Nine Num, Ello, and Zori. I think I was going to fly tomorrow with you guys, just because they're all I-5, so kind of got a chance to shoot back if something does just blow up.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear you talking about kind of the meta, and I think it's kind of shows
trash.
That. I was just about to ask you for your opinion, but thank you for the interjection. I think you should say what you think, though, instead of hiding your bushel, your light under a bushel.
Okay, then get ready to blur it out, Tim.
Right, hang on a minute. So like, it's interesting what you were saying, Ollie, that the meta, like, you've already spotted, even with us playing down the club and not necessarily pounding like hardline meta lists, which most of us don't. Like, we'll tend to pack one or two, like two lists. One of which is, you know, well, this is probably going to be something for a store championship or whatever if I'm playing in one and in one practice. And another one is for us to play against, you know, people who don't want to fly into something that degenerate.
Yeah.
But even then, you know, that is affecting people's meta choices because it makes sense to take high initiative stuff that's cheap with high loadout, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, why would you not? I think four is about as low as you can go. I think Kaz is good because of his ability. Like, he's always switched on in a high initiative meta. So, you know, he's got a really good stat line at 3-3. But I don't think you can easily go below four. And I know Dave Sutcliffe, Stay on the Leader, has been running some stats, and like, he goes through List Fortress and looks at kind of what people have been flying in different like time periods since points, and like for the month after points and then the month after that and this kind of stuff. And it basically shows a trend pushing up towards, you know, fives and sixes, dropping off the ones, twos and threes almost entirely, with high initiatives, you know, being the thing that everybody's gone into, and all of the factions are starting to push towards those high initiatives where they can. So that Polish double fire spray dirge list is an interesting example because it's a 6-5-4. Is it 6-5-5? Is it? Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So 6 and 2 5s, you know, it's, well, I might as well just put all of my points into the high initiative ships because otherwise they're just going to die. We see it with the rebel lists, you know, Han Fen Hera with swarm tactics on Hera, so that the one ship you've got that isn't a six is shooting at six anyway. Where does it stop? I mean, Liam, you've got a fairly firm opinion on the current points. You think they're kind of trash. Can you articulate why without swearing? I feel like Davino and Big Brother.
Well. You've taken out half my diction, so I don't think the game's in a good point at the moment. It is probably on level, if not worse, than what we had when 2.5 dropped.
So we need to clarify here. You're talking about the competitive game, not the game as a, like, so the game hasn't changed, right? The game itself, the play of the game, the enjoyment of the game.
Yeah, I'm talking to the meta at the moment.
Yeah.
So what I'm currently taking away from this is it's a race to the top. It's pointless taking anything initiative 1 to 4 because 4 is the new initiative 1. And everyone is just seeing how many I-5s and I-6s they can cram in. And I'm guilty of this, but I'd like to not do awful.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's doing it, right?
That's, I mean, the problem. Yeah, it doesn't mean it's the right thing. That's the issue. I think maybe we do need to look more of. I mean, there's so much Han. Han at 7 points, it's an i6, it double taps, it's got double mods, and it's got access to a boost. It's not difficult to be able to do all those in one turn because there's so many pieces in the faction that can.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Han wouldn't be such a problem if he couldn't double tap?
That would be the perfect thing. Like one shot at i6, but being able to shoot two different targets at i6 is an issue, especially in a high ship meta. I just think the game is, at the moment, it's probably the least fun I've had playing it.
I mean, just to like ask Ollie, you've got less experience of playing X-Wing as Liam has.
Yeah.
And you've experienced, I think this is maybe your third round of points or second or third round of points, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
How do you feel like, I know you're not thinking about the competitive meta and that kind of stuff all the time, but how do you feel about the current set of points?
Well, when I went to Sheffield and did the store champs there, it did kind of, it felt, like, I don't want to say sad, but everyone's just running the exact same list. There's no variation of, like, it's just basically what can beat a Falcon at a Sheffield one anyway. And there was, I mean, like, when we first started, there was, like, loads of variation, people just taking loads of different lists. And then with that one, it was just the same list. Everything had a Falcon. I mean, I understand that the points can't really be shifted around too much because you make them a point more and no one's going to use them. And then you make them a point less, everyone's just going to use them. But I think that's the issue of what they've done. I mean, from my knowledge of bringing it down to the 20 points. And that's what it feels like, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. We did talk about this a couple of weeks ago. That every time you get a competitive meta, like the points come out and they're really weird, and then they solve eventually, but it normally takes quite a lot of time. And we talked a little bit a few weeks back about, oh, do you remember in version one? And there was a point towards the end of version one before they converted us to version two X-Wing where there weren't really any points changes because the points weren't online. Everything was kind of written on cards. So, you know, that's what those things cost and you couldn't really change it. They ended up doing some errata to kind of nerf some ships to the point that people were taking hole punches to the cards to punch the upgrade slots out and stuff like that. But you'd go to tournaments, and there was one particularly famous one, Firestorm, in, I think it was Cardiff, where it was like 12 of the top 16 were flying identical card for card lists. And then there was a regional season where I think nearly every regional was won by somebody flying Miranda, Lorik, and Fen Rao. I think it was the three ship list that won. Just regional after regional after regional. It was literally was that you just, if you want to have a shot at winning of the regional, you use this because that's the list that wins it. And you ended up at tournaments with tons of mirror matches. There was a famous, was it a System Open in America?
They just stopped playing.
Yeah, they had like, they have like 2-hour finals. And I think it was Andrew Schmidt and Will Hagwood. Basically just
someone Bunn.
It might have been Andrew Bunn and Andrew Schmidt. Anyway, these two guys were both flying identical lists or like maybe one upgrade difference. And they got to the point where they each had a Miranda. One was moving first, one was moving second. And the guy moving first was like, well, if I engage, I die. And the guy who was moving second was like, well, I'm going to chase you because if you engage, you die. So they just slammed around the board for like 20 minutes, didn't engage each other. Couldn't, you know, the one doing the chasing couldn't catch him. The one doing the run-in wouldn't allow himself to be caught. And after like 20 minutes, they just went, well, there's an hour of this left, so are we going to play this out on stream? And they went, nah. So they went and got food. They wrote a note saying, be right back. And then they decided the winner with a game of Loop and Chewy. And it was just like, because that was the ultimate. And that's one of the reasons, I think, why version 2 got kind of sped up and brought through to completion, because that shone a light on the fact that, you know, the game's in a point now where it solves And that, I mean, this was pre-TTS as well. That's the thing. Just ordering my thoughts, but like pre-TTS and an awful lot of online play, because this is pre-COVID, it took longer for those metas to kind of solve because, you know, locally somebody had to find it. Then you'd refine it at a couple of store championships where people from outside the local area would turn up, and then regionals, you know, you would bash the regional metas off each other as people from further afield turned up, and then you'd go to nationals and, you know, everything, all sorts of weird and wonderful stuff turned up. But then eventually you got to something like Worlds and it was pretty much solved. And then you were getting, you know, well, who's the best player with the best list when it hit Worlds? And then there'd be a points change shortly after that and you'd cycle back around again. But I mean, this one, this current point, I was having a chat with, I think it was Dave, and it feels like when you go to club to play X-Wing at the minute, you're either choosing to take something that's disgusting and then you potentially crush a new player and they don't like it and maybe they don't come back. Yeah. Or you take something that's not fun or that's not good. And then if you play against somebody who is using a meta list, you get crushed. So it feels very like, you know, need to implement like a social contract where you kind of say, I'm flying nonsense. And that means that your opponent goes, well, I'll not fly this horrible thing. I'll pull the meta the non-meta nonsense out of my bag that I also have packed, and we'll play a funsies game of nonsense. But if one of you says, oh, I've got Han, Fen, Luke, Keo, you go, right, well, I'm going to pull out my Han killer list that I've developed to see if it works or whatever, you know. But having that, I mean, do you think, Ollie, that you would find it helpful if, as more experienced players at the club, we were very open with our expectations of what we were looking for out of a game and give you options like that to say, hey, do you want us to use this top meta thing into you, or would you rather we used something that was a bit more funky?
Because I started against tournaments, so I like to see what everyone's flying, but I kind of know everyone's flying now, but I do quite enjoy seeing, like, I can't remember, I wasn't there last week, who brought the, was it like 5-4 Naboo, something like that? I mean, like, yeah, seeing Jake. Stuff like that, yeah, like Jake, seeing stuff like that makes me want to kind of bring stuff what I'll enjoy, but then, like you said, like in the same aspect, someone's just going to bring a Falcon and just the meta, and then you're just going to get absolutely dunked on, and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing with that is, in our chat groups, and I mean, I appreciate there's people that aren't Sith takers listening to this, and I think there is kind of broader stuff that can be kind of taken to other groups, is that, like, in your chat groups, if you're all prepping up for store championships, and I appreciate there are like 3 or 4 happening a month in the UK, and there's 3 or 4 happening per weekend in the US, and further afield, you know, we are in store championship season, so some people will want to be practicing the things, is to be really open about what you're expecting out of a game when you turn up for like casual night for practice games or whatever. Like, I know different stores run in different ways, and some of them have got leagues where everything's all very competitive. But, you know, the way that we basically play at Element Games, where we mostly play on a Tuesday night, is everybody just turns up. And the first two people to turn up play each other. Then number 3 and 4 play each other. Then if those two games finish before numbers 5 and 6 turn up, those 4 people all just swap partners. And so it goes on. And basically, eventually everybody gets 2, maybe 3 games against a random number of opponents based on the order that people turn up. I think it's very important to be very, very clear, either before you turn up at the store or when you sit down opposite your opponent, to say, I've got 2 lists, and one of them's really meta serious and one of them's crap, and which do you want to play against? And, you know, most people shrug their shoulders and go, whatever, I'm not bothered, whatever. But I think if you are getting dejected or demoralized about the fact that you're constantly having to face, you know, Falcons and double modded Luke torpedoes and blah blah blah, whatever, then, you know, be open with the people that you're playing against and say, I'd rather not face that. Have you got something different packed? Because I've flown against that 9 times out of my last 11 games, and it's just demoralizing. Most opponents will say, oh yeah, cool. Or they'll say, sorry, I haven't got anything else. And you go, all right, well, I'll wait for somebody else to have a game and you can play somebody else as well. You know, like, you're there to have fun and you're paying your money to be there to have fun and enjoy yourself, not to, you know, stroke somebody's e-peen by letting them have a, a big freebie. So
every time I play Ben.
Oh, poor Ben. Poor Ben. Right.
I haven't got that list. He had the unlucky fart of when I was practicing for the expo and I just had that one list.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that last week. I saw that the Falcon list, the Falcon Fenn Keo Luke list that when Ryan Farmer had won his store championship with it, and I thought, oh, that looks interesting. That looks like it might be fun and good in the meta. And I brought it down the week after. And then I felt bad about the fact that I brought it down the week after and had just been smashing people with it. And it's like, yeah, this is not just, oh, that's a bit of fun. It's interesting that he did well with it. It's like, this is pretty damn top end in terms of what Rebels can do. Maybe not the very best thing, but it's, you know, it's one of those lists that you need to think about and prepare for to play against it if you're going to a tournament. I mean, this week I'm looking at that thing that Paul Heaver flew in and being like, oh, I might give that version a run out. But now I'm thinking after this conversation, actually, I might just wheel out a bunch of Naboos and some other crap or, you know, something I've not flown for a while. Look in my case and think I've not used that ship for a bit. I might go extended and pull out my resistance bomber. That would be fun. That would surprise everybody. What are you doing? But yeah, no, it's the chat I was having with Dave, it was either, you know, basically like it kind of crystallized a few things for me. I still really enjoy the game. I love the game. And I'm not going to be quitting X-Wing until X-Wing quits me. But it's kind of, this is the first time in 5 years where I've thought to myself, I might play something different tonight. Might play a different game. Yeah, I still love it. Like, genuinely, I love it. It's just right now, I'm just like kind of, right, if I'm going to go to a tournament, I haven't, maybe this is because I don't have a tournament on the horizon at the moment. I haven't booked for anything. But if I had a tournament on the horizon, then I could be mainlining reps with, you know, something disgusting and trying to, you know, get myself in a position to win a store championship, get an invite or whatever. Because I don't have that, maybe I'm just thinking, you know, whatever. I don't know. But hopefully we'll get another point shake up before Worlds. Otherwise, it's going to be a fairly narrow field of people desperately trying not to win the road roll until the final table, when you really want to win the road roll, because that's how you win Worlds at the minute. It's all good. Be better at rolling first player. Oh, it's all a bit grumpy. Right, should we cheer things up again? Who's your favourite Star Wars character, Ollie? There is a correct answer, just so you're aware.
Oh,
Cad Bane. Look at his dreamy eyes.
We knew what your answer was, Liam. Did you say Poe, Ollie?
Yeah.
Aye, cool. Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good. That, you can tell what age. You can tell what age you are. You can tell what age you are.
By the fact that he didn't say Darth Vader.
So Mike Upton has put up a meme recently, Oppenheimer obviously being in the cinemas, and he's just put up a picture of the movie poster, but with Chopper at the front of it, with Chopperheimer. And it's like, yep, seems appropriate. Who's your favourite Star Wars character, Ben? It's been a while.
I don't know. I like too many. I don't really know. I really don't know.
I'm trying to think if you forced me. If you force me to say, I have a genuine soft spot for the new Obi-Wan Kenobi, kind of the thing that's like Obi-Wan Kenobi between the Ewan McGregor kind of, but post, yeah. Like with the Obi series and like a lot of fleshing out of the character and all that kind of stuff. I kind of like him quite a lot, but I'm pretty sure my favorite is probably still like old school Luke Skywalker.
I think
maybe
probably the early Dr. Aphra when she's in the comics. The first ones is so good. She's like such a good character.
Look at you going all hipster.
It's got to be different, Ben.
No, but I really like comics.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, like, I didn't even know that Star Wars had comics until a few years ago.
Did you ever get a chance to get the Vader story of sort of him just after becoming Vader?
Yeah.
Where he gets sent out, like, he doesn't have a lightsaber, and then the Emperor's basically gone, you can't have a lightsaber until you, like, kill a Jedi. That's a really good book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it just sort of shows you how powerful Vader actually is.
Yeah, is that where that thing...
You see him in the Obi-Wan story now, like his power there. But before that, we haven't really seen the extent that he can use the Force.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing with
he uses like a droid's leg and a droid's arm, and he uses the Force to control it because he's lost his robot ones and pulls a dam down with the Force and stuff. Is great.
Is that the one where Vader drops into the middle of a load of rebel troopers and go, "All I see is fear and dead men"?
Yeah, something like that. That's part of that story further on in the line. It's him. He's going hunting Jedi is what he's doing at the time. It's good.
Did you find, like, I don't know if you guys watched it, like, did you find Andor quite refreshing? I know I did. I thought it was different to the usual kind of layout of a Star Wars series.
Yeah, it was great, weren't it?
It was good in the same way that Rogue One was good.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good because it was a war movie that was set in the Star Wars universe, and it was a well-made war movie that was set in the Star Wars universe. So it was, I really enjoyed it. Talking about that, and we don't really tend to talk much about Star Wars media because we never know about spoilers and who's watched what and everything, but it's time for everybody to start watching Rebels and Clone Wars now if you haven't watched it already, because Ahsoka is out in a month. So you've got time. You've got time.
I was supposed to be watching that today, but then I watched Demon Slayer instead.
Fair enough. we've got time to get caught up on the lore, but the show authors for Ahsoka have said that you will get more out of it if you are aware of all of the Ahsoka backstory stuff from Clone Wars and Rebels, but it's not mandatory viewing. Like, the show will still make sense as a standalone series. So, I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm very much looking forward to season two of Cassian.
I hope they don't drag it out for too long, though.
Yeah.
Like, do you know, I mean, like, because it is really good. I don't want them to just do series for the sake of it. I'd like them to have a set end point.
I mean, Rogue One's been out long enough. There is a very set end point.
Yeah, but they can literally drag it out, though, can't they? They can literally stretch that middle ground out as long as they want.
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't think they will. They seem to be, you know, fairly focused on telling the story in the number of seasons that they need to tell the story that they want to tell, and then closing it down. Like, they don't want to go full Supernatural or whatever, Smallville season 74. none of the cast look the same that they did at the start.
Andor is possibly the best Star Wars content. It's not my favourite, but I think it's the best.
That's fair.
I know your favourite is the one where Cad Bane turns up in whatever it is he turned, Mandalorian.
I'm not going to lie, Cad Bane isn't even my favourite character.
Who is?
Right, it's Grievous. It's a three-way tie between Grievous, Maul and Boba. Or if, because you went for a very specific Obi-Wan, I'm going to go for a very specific Anakin. It's when he walks into the room where all the younglings are. That's my favourite Anakin.
Best one.
They've also a couple of new Star Wars games been announced as well.
Outlaws looks fantastic.
Yeah, I can't wait to get that. They've also done like you only seen like the start screen, but it's a Mandalorian one, which looks quite cool.
That's right.
Right, a couple of things then. I'm just going to move us on to, because we've been going on for about our allotted amount of time. just reading Jim's message. Liam loves it because of the droid B2 emo.
we've got emos.
And just want to, and I can't remember if we mentioned it, but just want to mention Illy, who won the Sith Taker Sorting Championship on TTS. We're going to reach out to you and we're going to try and send you something. I need to have a conversation with our treasurer.
Can we just send Liam?
I wouldn't survive in Germany.
Right, hang on a minute, Tim, just stop. Oh, right. Everybody's just winding me up with messages now, trying to make me confused. So it was won by a German guy who was the only person that went undefeated. We're going to send him a message asking him for his address, and then we're going to send you something. But I need to talk to Sean about what we can send you before we send it. So I don't know what it's going to be yet, but it'll be something.
Maybe a sandwich.
Yeah, no, it won't be a sandwich.
Might be a nice sandwich.
Might be a sandwich made out of acrylic. Here's a sandwich. Congratulations for winning. Anyway, so we are in the process, because Ben's moving house at the minute, and a couple of people have asked, but we're in the process of figuring out who's going to be in what league. And over the next couple of weeks, we'll put an announcement up on Discord and in other places. And we're going to run it's a wretched hive, we call it, isn't it, Ben?
The lowest league is, yeah, mate.
Yeah, for people who want to join in but who weren't in the Sorting League. But if there's anybody who's still interested in Online X-Wing who wasn't in the Sorting League, then I'll be a monkey's uncle.
You'd be surprised. People have already messaged me.
Have they? Yeah. They can get in it. So I think that's it from me. I don't think there's anything else that we need to or want to talk about. Doubtless I'll have forgotten something. Ollie, have you got...
I'll make some more if you want.
Yeah. Ollie, have you got any shout-outs or anything else you wanted to have a quick chat about?
I don't... It's just kind of learning the game more. Like, I think links would help a lot. Like, I know... like links on probability and stuff like that, and what's doing search in situations. That's what helped me kind of work things out. I don't know if they can be made more like prevalent in the groups, because there's not a lot of like when you should take a focus, when you should take a lock. I mean, I know it's kind of learnt, but for new players, we don't know when things are best to do certain things.
Okay.
Ollie, okay. I still don't.
Probability. I just go for what feels best.
Yeah.
So this might take quite a bit of prep, but maybe there's a player who knows the probabilities off the top of their head a lot better than we do, that we can get on to do an episode on that kind of stuff in the future. But there is a website called Gate of Storms X-Wing. If you Google Gate of Storms X-Wing, or X-Wing Probability Calculator, it'll probably come up, and we'll make sure that we put the link to that in the show notes as well, and probably promote it around a couple of different places, because those probabilities are something that new players take some time to learn. So I'll commit to doing some, Tim will commit to doing some prep on that, or finding a player who is more savvy with probabilities rather than just doing it as learned, because it's like weird stuff where if you roll a blank and a focus and you've got one force and you've got a reroll, do you reroll just the blank or do you reroll both of them? Apparently, marginally, it's both of them, but that's learned behavior. And if you don't know, you think, well, I've got a focus in the bank, that's definitely one result, so then I've got 50-50 on the other dice. I don't understand why, but I just roll the two dice because now somebody cleverer than me told me that was the correct thing.
And then you're sad about it when you just get the one focus back. Damn it! Yeah.
Or two blanks is normally the case. it's a good shout, that, Ollie. So we'll make sure to do that in the future. Right. Have you any shout-outs then, Oliver?
Oh, it would just be Matt Holt.
For getting you into the game.
Yeah.
Where's he been? Has he been off?
He's been off. He's a busy man, you know, like his time, you have to like pay him for it, so.
Oh, okay. Okay. So Matt, we mentioned years ago, it must be now, or at least months ago, that somebody from the Sith Takers had started making like really, really, really thin balsa wood objective markers backed with felt that were beautiful because they were like 1 millimeter thick. And then we were sending Matt, you could get these and start selling them because they're great because they're backed with felt, so they don't move around at all. And, you know, they look really nice. And then Louis Leong turned up with his razor thin metal ones and everybody was like, yep, I want them instead. And Matt was like, seems a bit unfair. But yeah. Anybody else?
No, there's everyone. I'd say Ben, but I don't really like him.
Welcome to the Sith Takers. That's how it goes. Cool.
I'd be Liam. Offended if I didn't think so lowly of you. Sorry, I wanted to text someone before I bothered insulting you back. Because that's how little you matter to me.
Oh, rude. Liam, have you any shout outs?
Is it no. Boarding Brum, maybe?
Yeah,
Brum.
That one.
You like that one, don't you, little Liam?
Yeah.
All of your opponents at the store championship at the weekend?
Except the one who beat him.
That's a good point. Yeah, I should do that.
Don't worry. I'll make you polite, Liam. Don't worry.
Yeah, so hang on. Who did I play?
Oh, we're not going through that. Come on.
Oh, no, I forgot anyway. But yeah, well done, guys. You played me, and yes.
And at least one of you beat him. Well done.
Congrats, you're well done. You people.
All right. I'm going to move on from Liam before he accidentally swears. And by accidentally, I mean quite deliberately. Just to
yeah, it will be deliberate.
Ben, have you any shout-outs you want to do?
I can't think of anything.
Cool. I'm just going to shout out everybody that listens and who sends us messages and says thanks very much for the podcast. I want to actually just shout out Andre, who's a big Onge on Discord. He's in New Zealand. He's 12 hours ahead. So I played him on one of those cool kind of Friday night for me, Saturday morning for him kind of games. And oh, he literally is the nicest man in X-Wing. He was genuinely celebrating my good dice results while laughing at his bad ones. And like, it was almost like I had a supporter who wanted me to win on the other side of the table. But like, he was just playing like a hard, like proper game of X-Wing, but just there was nothing there was no grindy competitive, nothing. It was all just positive and awesome and lovely. And I know he listens, so I just want to give him a quick shout out because I really had a very thoroughly enjoyable Friday night playing against him. So big shout out to Andre. And I think that's us for tonight. So I'll say goodbye from Ollie.
Thank you very much for having me.
There you go. You got there. You say bye-bye at this point. Thank you for coming on. Goodbye from Ben.
Bye.
Goodbye from Liam.
Toodles.
And I mean, with the kind of, with Oliver's inability to know when to start talking, he could become a regular fixture on the podcast, to be honest. But it's goodbye from me. Thanks very much for listening. We'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye. Against your soul, because I think I'm better than you. The boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell's broke loose in Georgia, and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul.